What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
All righty. Guess what? DHH is live. You can find this on Periscope or YouTube. You can search Dynasty Happy Hour. You can click to subscribe. If you're scrolling through Twitter right now, you might have seen this go live at the top of your screen. You click it. You see our beautiful faces. There's no Tyler. So this podcast just got immediately more attractive, I'm just going to say. Because it's Doug and Tim. It's everybody's favorite duo. If I'm playing duos like in Fortnite, it's going to be me and it's going to be Tim. And we're going to take that victory royale. That's what we're going to do, right, Tim?
I don't play Fortnite, so I'll just, yeah, I don't lose. So yeah, we're taking a victory royale with cheese.
That's a shout out to Tyler, because him and I have been playing Fortnite and we've been logging some victory royales and duos as well as squads. So shout out to Tyler. He's up north this weekend with the fam, so he couldn't make it.
Canada.
Robbie's busy. So you know what? You get the fantastic duo. We are here. We are going to cover a lot of things. We've got some news that we're going to cover. We've got a little DTC stock check. We've got stats and stuff segment, which a lot of people like. So we're going to compare two players and then play a little bit of a guessing game. Tim doesn't know the answer, but I do. So yeah. And then we're going to cover some sophomore sleepers. So it's going to be my sleepers, Tim's sleepers, as well as Robbie. We all have our sophomore sleepers that we want to talk about. Guys that you should go and get now before the season starts. If there's a season. Oh, hot take. Sorry. Mm-hmm. If there's a season, go get them now because they will pay dividends for you by acquiring them now. Because then you could either flip them in 2021 or just reap the profits of paying low for these particular players as we go through. So what do you say, Tim? Should we say Happy Father's Day to everyone? It is Father's Day today.
Yeah, you know, Happy Father's Day. Doug, I know you got to spend some time in the pool and all that
jazz.
You know, it's that time of year too. But yeah, we talked a little bit before we went live, so it sounded like you had a good Father's Day. I told you that my youngest daughter came to me the other week and said she wanted to watch all the Marvel superhero movies in sequential order. So we've been trying to knock those out as we have time. So, we got through the very first Avengers today. So we're four or five movies into this thing now. So it's been a good time.
Nice. This is what, 22 or 23 of those?
I don't know. A bunch. But
yeah, there's a lot of
Plus. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And there's some movies that aren't on Disney Plus that might still be on like Netflix or whatever. So you can find them all.
Like
if you need to borrow one, just let me know. I'll mail it to you.
We rented the original Hulk, that stuff. So gotcha. The Edward Norton vehicle.
Yes. Meh. Yeah, that one's, strike that one from the record. I actually don't mind the Ang Lee one. Hot take. Sorry.
The Ang Lee?
It's more artsy. The Ang Lee one I liked. But anyway, we're not here to talk Hulk smash. We're going to smash some news right now. And I will say happy Father's Day as well to everyone out there. I am the Fantasy Father. So happy the Fantasy Father Day. All right. So fantasy news. We had some big injury news this week. A couple things happened.
Yeah.
Someone got their block knocked off in a club. And the other one broke his foot while in Tennessee doing some little teamwork activity. And that was Deebo Samuel. Caught himself with a Jones fracture. So recovery timeline is 8 to 10 weeks, according to Eitan Turner, who's the injury analyst for the Fantasy Headlines and a former DHH member. So Ethan, thank you. 12 weeks to the day until the first weekend of week one. So Tim, are you worried about Deebo for 2020?
You have to have some sort of concern. The Jones fracture is something that does seem to be mildly reoccurring, especially if you try to rush back.
Here's Edelman, my concern. Julio Jones, Sammy, they've all had it.
Here's my concern is Deebo seems like one of those competitors that's going to try to push through as hard as he can, push the rehab as fast as he possibly can. And he's also playing for a team that got so stinking close last year to winning the Lombardi Trophy. They don't have time to take their foot off the gas as a team. I'm hoping that the Niners as a organization can realize, hey, we have a very valuable young asset here. Despite the fact that we were so close last year, we shouldn't push this. Allow him to get to 100% before attempting to put him back out there and risking a re-injury, because of having him come back early off the rehab.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that they have depth at the pass catching position. They have They obviously have George Kittle. They drafted Brandon Ayuk in the first round. They traded up to get him. Kyle Shanahan said he was his wide receiver one. I don't know if that's true, but whatever. You know, they still have Trent Taylor. He's a forgotten man for fantasy. So if you have him deep on a dynasty roster, you know, really good college profile, that pretty much that prototypical slot type of receiver. Kendrick Bourne, who sneaky scores touchdowns. There's this
could
guy
be an ultimatum.
Yes.
As he tries to find his identity.
Yes, I'm not going to say the supremacy one because I don't think that's right. But so Dante Pettis also still on the roster, a guy that you can probably go out and acquire on the cheap. I know Tyler said the first thing he could hear was me saying go spend a fourth rounder and get yourself Dante Pettis. I still believe in the talent. He might be in the doghouse in San Francisco, but maybe this gives him an opportunity to get back in the starting lineup. And there's a guy we're going to talk about a little bit later, so we won't go too deep into him now. It was Jalen Hurd, who was a second rounder last year for the Niners. So we'll talk a little bit about him later. So, the benefactors outside of Ayuk, I think probably Bourne is the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And you kind of hit on it a little bit. They have that kid that they invested some pretty decent draft capital in just last year, and they didn't get to play with that brand new toy last year. I'm sure Shanahan's had, 14, 16 months now at this point to scheme up ways to get Jalen out there and get the ball in his hands and see what he can do. So,
yeah, and we'll touch on him a little bit more later. So Debo, I've already seen his, we've been in a couple startups, not startups, but like eliminator challenges. And I've seen Debo slip pretty far already, a couple rounds probably later than he should go because people are worried about the fracture. I almost took him. It was between him and Deontay Johnson for me. And I was like, oh, I could take Debo. The only reason I didn't take Debo is because I already rostered Dalvin Cook on that team. So I was like, well, what if Dalvin does hold out? And then what if Debo does not come back? There goes my running back one, and there goes my wide receiver one at this point in the draft. Yeah. Like, I can't afford that kind of risk. So I went with Deontay Johnson. Debo Samuel was immediately picked right after me. So I was on the right path. But I was like, you know what? I can't take on that much risk, even though the reward could be great. I was like, you know what? It's an eliminator.
Yeah, with no other receivers on your roster at that point, it's tough to make Debo your number one. Mm-hmm. It'd be great if he's ready for week one, but 3 weeks in,
the Jones fractures are just really tricky.
He has 3 weeks in, somebody steps on the foot the wrong way.
I remember Dez Bryant. I mean, he came back, I think, too early, and then he ended up missing time with the Jones fractor. Edelman's the same thing. He missed time the second time. Sammy Watkins. The only person that's had a Jones fracture that I don't remember missing time afterwards was Julio, but I could be wrong on that. Yep. So, and speaking of Jones fractures, we're talking Alshon Jeffrey. So Doug Peterson came out this week and said that Alshon Jeffrey has no timetable to return. Do they even want him to return? I think they need him to return, to be honest, because, they need guys like Alshon Jeffrey because that's what they didn't have last year in the red zone. You know, they have Ertz, they have Dallas Goedert, who we'll talk about here in a moment. But they need Alshon Jeffrey to come back and, we'll see what happens. Now, when we talk dynasty, Jeffrey is a good piece for your win now type of teams. If you had to go out and acquire Alshon Jeffrey, what would you give up for him? Like a 2021 third?
Yeah.
Late second?
No, I'm not going to go into the second with Jeffrey at this point anymore. Heard. I mean, we're talking about a guy who almost needs a bionic arm in order to get that thing above this level. his shoulder's just destroyed at this point. Amazing jump ball type catcher. Early on in his career, was very athletic. So it stinks to see these guys start to age out and the body just doesn't recover the way it needs to.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for Eagles fans, Tim. So first you had Alshon Jeffrey with no timetable to return. Then earlier in the week, Eagles three-time Pro Bowler Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles and he's going to miss the season. So that's a tough one because, everyone's on the Miles Sanders train. So now Brooks, who's one of the best guards in the league, is going to be out for the year. They still have a pretty good offensive line. Maybe, Jason Peters, I know, is still out there. So maybe they can shift some things around.
There were immediate rumors that Jason Peters was going to be re-signed and then kicked inside. Take an all-world, tackle and throw him into guard. But let's be honest, the rookie last year didn't play lights out when given the opportunity. So I think the line depth would be a great addition, getting Peters in there. You can do something else with one of the other guys, Dillard or Lane. But Yeah, that's a big blow to the interior offensive line. You know, that's got to affect Wentz as well.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're in Scott Fishbowl and Wentz is your quarterback, like you get negative points for sacks.
Yeah, I mean, those interior blitzes until the team can really build that chemistry with the offensive line, especially with the interior guys, it's going to be an issue. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then last but not least, in Eagles news, late last night in South Dakota, Dallas Goedert's hanging out at a bar, and he got clocked. He got sucker punched out of nowhere. I don't know if you saw the video, Tim.
I didn't see the video, no.
Oh, my God. He got knocked out. Concussion protocol for sure for Dallas Goedert. He was just walking by, and some guy just came up and knocked him dead cold. Like, he was out like a light. I was like, oh, boy. It was not good. Obviously, he should be fine by the time the season starts, but, like, he's definitely got some sort of concussion because he got lit up, and you hate to see it. You know, you don't think of South Dakota as a violent place. So who knows what happened? I don't know the context of the situation. Maybe he's like, oh, this guy's an NFL player. He's tough. And then just decided to clock him out of nowhere. Because you know what? People are trash. So that would not surprise me if that was the case.
Did Goddard say something along the lines of, you know, his Massey Ferguson tractor is better than John Deere?
I'm sure maybe. Who knows? I don't even know what a Massey Ferguson tractor is. Is that a competitor for John Deere?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like a country song to me.
Yeah, I'm sure they talk about tractors.
Massey Ferguson versus John Deere action. Ooh, some hot stuff. So yeah, rough week for the Eagles. Yes.
As they're over my shoulder.
Yes, they are. All right, so that's going to do it for news. Now Tim and I are going to talk some stats and stuff. If you're watching this live and you've got some questions, feel free to throw them in. They'll probably be answered because we probably won't have a ton. So feel free to throw them in. Tim will give me a heads up, and we'll answer them. So if you're watching, let us know. And if you're listening, thank you. So let's get in time for stats and stuff. I'm going to give you the info for the two mystery players. The panel, which is Tim, will decide which player they prefer. Tim can also guess the players after everyone Tim has answered. I reveal at the end who they are and their ADPs. Although their ADPs, I don't think Robbie sent me. God damn it, Robbie. So anyway, I'll give you the players. Here we go.
I got my pen and paper.
Yes. So player A, this 25-year-old has been a top 20 PPR running back in each of his three fully healthy seasons. Before going down with an injury in 2019, this running back was pacing as the RB16. This player has never averaged under 14 touches per game in any season. All right, you ready for player B? This 27-year-old has only had one 1,000-yard rushing season. In all but his rookie season, this running back has never had less than 41 receptions in a season. Before 2019, this running back had three straight seasons as a top 10 PPR running back. Which player would you prefer, Tim Keller?
This one to me is pretty easy. If we have a guy who was pacing as RB16 before an injury last year, and you're telling me I have two extra years on this running back, I'll take running back A, the 25-year-old. I cannot come up with who this would be, though. Okay. I can't come up with a name for either, honestly.
Oh, and I do have their ADPs, by the way, at the position.
Okay.
I did get them. Just hot news.
Okay. Well,
so no idea on player
before you reveal the names.
Sure. No idea on either one of them.
No.
You want to take a guess? Just shot in the dark.
5-year-old that got injured that was running, going about running back 16. We'll say that running back A is Matt Breda.
Okay.
And a 27-year-old. I don't even know Breda's age. He's probably older than 25.
That's okay.
I don't have anybody for player B.
Okay. The first one's ADP is currently running back 45 for player A, and player B is running back 21.
Mm.
Does that help you at all, or do you give up? Are you tapping out?
I'm going to tap out. Let me have
it. All right. Player A at running back 45 is Jordan Howard.
Oh, jeez.
Player B at running back 21 is Melvin Gordon.
Wow.
I think the biggest thing with Gordon is the receptions, never having less than 41 receptions is really being a top 10 PPR back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jordan Howard, now he's in Miami. He does have aforementioned Matt Breida as a backfield mate. And don't forget about Kalen Ballage. Just kidding. You can forget about Kalen Ballage.
I remember him.
He will not be in the sophomore sleepers segment. He's still napping.
Maybe deeply. He's on that Devontae Parker path.
Yeah, year five. His fifth year breakout at running back position. Yeah. First one ever.
Wow. I mean, Jordan Howard has always been productive, just never sexy. So
yeah, he's boring. He doesn't offer you anything in the passing game, but he does touch the ball like Robbie had here, 14 touches a game. Mm-hmm. And he does score touchdowns pretty well. So again, he's not the upside with Jordan Howard is there's not a lot of it. Yeah. That's the thing. He's just got like a relatively safe floor, but he's not going to do anything exciting or sexy for your team. Mm-hmm. Whereas Melvin Gordon, at least he's going to get the passing game work. People like him as a prospect. Now he's in Denver, so we don't know what's it's going to look like between Philip Lindsay. They still have Royce Freeman. They didn't trade him, but I think that Melvin Gordon is the guy. So
yeah, yes, I do believe that he's going to be the RB1 there in Denver. It's mm-hmm. nice to have a backup like Philip Lindsay. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But speaking of one of these two guys and their, maybe backup, we got baby_J1221 over there on Periscope asking who do we think will be the better fantasy asset between Breida and Howard down there for Miami this year. So Doug, where do you lean on this one?
I already know what your answer is. To me, it's Matt Breida. Give me the guy that's led the NFL in rushing through half a season. He's going to get the majority of the passing game work as well. He's just more electric in space. The Miami Dolphins have an upgraded offensive line. We don't know what's going on at their quarterback position, but even if Fitzpatrick is their starter, they've got Gesicki, they've got Parker. Hopefully Preston Williams comes back. They got Albert Wilson. They can't really focus on stuffing the run per se. But Breida to me has a three down skill set. Now I think Howard's obviously going to be mixed in there, but I don't know if he's the guy, but I'm going to go with Breida, especially at their ADPs. I think Howard, I don't have it in front of me, but I bet Breida is probably after Jordan Howard at running back ADP. And I just like him as more of a player, especially from an athletic standpoint. Howard's more of the plotter. Breida is going to get you points in a PPR, which is pretty much your standard in most dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lean Matt Breida on this one in dynasty and redraft. Let's go.
And you kind of said it, Jordan Howard, while he's been productive every year of his career so far, it's just not exciting. It's not sexy. He doesn't have that flash where they hand him the ball at the 6-yard line and he's going to break one. Breida not only has that wiggle to get through the line and into that second level,
he's got the speed.
Once he's there, good luck keeping up with him. He is a fast, fast little.
Yeah, fella. I remember him hitting like 21 miles an hour on a run last year or the year before. He was one of the fastest runs in the NFL that particular year.
So yeah, that boy's got some wheels on him. So if he gets some open space, it could be goodbye for Matt Breida, that's for sure. So definitely the juice, the electricity is with Breida there over Howard. So yeah, that's the way I'm going to lean as well.
Yeah, and I like a lot of the Miami Dolphins at their current prices in Dynasty. Parker's still not overly expensive, because I think people are like, well, he did it for 1 year, but he still has a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. Preston Williams is one of my favorite players. I don't think he's a sleeper per se. Like, he is a sophomore player, but I don't categorize him as a sleeper. People know Preston Williams, and I think his price is pretty fair in the market right now because they see his upsides. And they got Mike Gesicki, who you can get relatively inexpensive. I mean, he's going as a tight end too in most of your leagues. And I think there's the upside. Obviously we know his athletic, prowess because he's Penn State, him, Saquon Barkley, the safety, Troy Apke, Miles Sanders, they're all physical freaks. Yeah. And even like, if you're looking for a cheap guy, if Albert Wilson's healthy and he gets targets, that's a great wide receiver at the end of your roster. That could be a flex play for you in a pinch if you have some injuries, because Albert Wilson, Matt Harmon's reception perception, Albert Wilson is one of the best route runners in the whole NFL, just has a lengthy history of being injured. But when he does play, he's produced at a wide receiver three level over those times. So again, if he can stay healthy, Albert Wilson in the slot, one of the more elusive players in the league as well. So I like a lot of those pieces in Miami. Tua is obviously going to be the most expensive, especially in super flex leagues. But even in some of those leagues, he might be cheaper than you think, especially with the whispers that Tua could start this year. I think is very, very interesting. And he would be an upgrade on all those offensive players in my mind, or Fitzpatrick. Yes. And Fitzpatrick is a pretty decent fantasy quarterback. I'll give him that much. So, all right. That was a fun game. I love it. All right. So now we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. It is Dynasty Owner. Do you think you're the smarter than an NFL GM? I know a lot of us do. Do you think you're the best at fantasy football? You're cocky if you do. Well, guess what? Here's your chance to prove it. Dynasty Owner is the only patented fantasy sports game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. You manage your team from all levels, owner to general manager to coach. You can set hot dog prices. Just kidding. You can't do that. Dynasty Owner is for the smart and elite fantasy football players that are out there. There's no offseason in Dynasty Owner. The rookie draft matters, free agency matters, and every single contract matters. So come do a startup in 2020, which is now, using actual NFL player contracts and salaries, then improve your team each year with a three-round rookie draft and by trading players and draft picks. You can win weekly prizes, seasonal prizes, and compete in the chase for the ring. The mobile app is out there. You can download it on iOS and Android, and rookie drafts have already started. Mock drafts are open now on desktop and mobile browsers. To learn more and mock draft for free, go to www.dynastyowner.com.
Now, right, talking Tim, a little bit about Dynasty Owner real quick, that chase it. For the ring, I have some inside information. This ring is a legit, it's about a $10,000 ring. It is modeled after, I want to say, the last Celtics championship ring. It's got like over 2008? Possibly, like over 100 diamonds encrusted on it.
That was the last time they won.
They had it. It's like over 100 grams. It's a legit, for real.
Is it like the ring from, have you seen Uncut Gems?
I have not.
Adam Sandler and Kevin Garnett. First of all, it's cool if you're into jewelry. Other than that, don't waste your time. It's not very good. Yeah.
I have it on my list. I haven't watched it yet, though.
Not good.
No? Okay. But yeah, I heard on the Sideline Squid podcast, they had one of the guys from Dynasty Owner over there. Legit ring. Big time deal. I know last year they sent a guy to the Super Bowl. They sent a guy to the Hall of Fame. So they're doing big things over there. Go check them out.
All right. Yeah. Definitely check out Dynasty Owner. All right. So Tim, it is time for our sophomore sleepers. We each have three of them. I've got Robbie's notes on his players. So I'll go over Robbie's and then we can circle back. But we're going to kick it off with you. So I want to hear your first sophomore sleeper that you got.
All right. The first sophomore sleeper I'm going to have on my list is Damian Harris of your New England Patriots. Sonny Michel just had a surgery. So, you know, you just got to kind of worry about that a little bit. CJ, we see in the chat asking about the muscles. Don't make me break out the calves on you.
I didn't cut this shirt off. It came this way. It's when I go to the gym or when it's 90 degrees outside, bro. Come on, bro.
Joni Island in July, you know, on the boardwalk up there, sleeveless tee. You know what it is, what it is.
CJ does have big arms, by the way, but whatever.
But he skips leg day. So anyways, Damian Harris is my first sleeper. He only appeared in two games for the Patriots last year. He carried the ball four whole times. But yeah, like we said, the jury's still kind of out on Sonny Michel. He's very Jordan Howard-esque. He gets the job done.
Kind of a zero in the passing game.
Yeah, but he's not super electric. Which is baffling because if you watch his last year at Georgia, he looked like this electric back. He looked like he was going to come into the league, be juking guys out of their shoes, hitting the sideline, and racing these safeties.
It's like if DeAndre Swift came in this year in the NFL and then looked like Sonny Michel. That would be like the kind of shock. It would be like, where's this athleticism? Where
did he go? He looked like an entirely different specimen on film. So maybe Damian can be a little bit of a spark. I would expect that the Pats are going to be a little bit more of the run offense that Belichick has been known to do at times. Think of Brady early on. You know, they kind of ran for, you know, to matriculate.
They pounded Antoine Smith, and then it was short passes to Troy Brown and David Patton.
Yep. They passed when they needed to and in situations. Other than that, the offense kind of ran through the backfield. So I expect a very similar offense until they really find out what they have there at the quarterback position. You know, not throwing any shade or nothing like that, but until they see him in live regular season action, I think there's questions about Stidham. So Harris, could definitely see. I mean, he has to see more than four carries. So he has to have an increase in value. So you're going to get Harris late in things like the Scott Fishbowl. I know in some of the mocks I've been taking Damian Harris late, just as that guy, hey, if he starts seeing the field getting 10, 12 touches a week.
Yeah, you're talking like late teens type of
late. Yeah, he's a guy you can get for next to nothing. He's not going to kill you. You're not getting guys you expect to be every week starters at that point, but this is a guy with some upside that could eventually find a role in this offense. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think the puzzling thing about Harris, and you know, there was a lot of sentiment out here in New England that, you know, like, why not activate Damian Harris when Sony Michel was kind of struggling a little bit? You know, Michel, they had some offensive line issues last year for the Patriots. But Michel, I mean, he averaged under 4 yards a carry. Like, he just didn't look he can't break away from defenses like at all. So the interesting thing about Damian Harris is that, you know, he was a third round pick. Belichick and Saban are tight. So there's got to be something there. And maybe it was just, maybe Harris came in with an attitude, or maybe they were just like, you know what, sit and watch in the system. We have plenty of running backs to do the job, and you're going to be the next guy potentially, because Michelle's a free agent after this year, I believe. I can't think they're going to pick up his fifth year option, because that'll be overpaying Sony Michel. So it could just be the long game with Damian Harris. And, you know, Michel just had another cleanup surgery on his ankle. So he's had a history of injuries over the years now. And we already know, like, there was the Jay Ajayi rumors of bone on bone in his knees. So yeah, I think Damian Harris is a great, great late round flyer in your startups for Scott Fishbowl. If you play in any best ball leagues, he's a guy that you can take in almost the last round. And you're going to get nothing but profit if he starts to touch the football. And he's good in the passing game too, which is something that I thought Sony Michel was going to be great in, and he stinks. Like, he drops the ball a ton. So, you know, James White isn't going to be around forever either. So Damian Harris, really, for his cost, definitely has the most opportunity for you to turn a profit for your sophomore players. So go out and get yourself some Damian Harris, because, you know, someone probably used a second round pick on him last year, and they're like, this guy got four freaking carries, and they're not happy about it. So maybe you can be like, you know what, I'll throw you a mid to late third. And they're like, fine, I just want to get out of it. Maybe they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They're just really disappointed. Could definitely see that happening. So yes, go out and get yourself some Damian Harris. All right, Robbie's got for his sophomore sleeper, Mr. Jace Stanberger. So he's got a big opportunity. There's no established pass catchers outside of Devontae's on the Green Bay Packers. You know, they've got Alan Lazard. They've got Equanimeous St. Brown, who was hurt last year. They've got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's kind of a guy. Jimmy Graham there last year. There were 94 targets to the tight ends in Green Bay last season. So what do you think? Do you think Sternberger could get like 65 to 70 of those, Tim?
65 to 70 is probably a little hefty. I'd say 50 to 60 is probably.
I mean, they did draft that in the second round. Who's more of a full? Josh.
But yeah, I think you could probably see 50 to 60, 65 targets in this offense. And let's be honest, any target from Aaron Rodgers has some value to it. So you give him 50 plus targets, it's going to be good.
Sure. And Rodgers' touchdown percentage was 4.6 last year. He's averaged 6% in his career. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously some positive touchdown regression for Aaron Rodgers. And if they're going to come through the air, I could see it. I could see Sternberger maybe getting 5 or 6 of those. He's 6'4". He's 250 pounds. He should be a resident. And it's hard to imagine that he won't beat his tight end 22 ADP right now. Hmm. So, you know, he's going as a tight end too. I like Sternberger. I like a lot of these 2019 tight ends. I've said it before. Let me just make sure I'm not. All right. I won't spoil yours. But, you know, you have Josh Olivers. You have your Drew Samples. You have Irv Smith Jr. Guys that, like, they flashed a little bit, but they didn't really do a ton in their rookie years. Foster Moreau is another one that I really like. So really athletic tight ends in the 2019 class, but we didn't get a lot out of them. I mean, TJ Hawkinson had one good game. Noah Fant was, you know, the best of the bunch, but I like going and buying a lot of these 2019 tight ends. And Sternberger is definitely on that list because of the opportunity that he's going to have now that Jimmy Graham is out of the picture. They don't really have, I mean, they have, who do they still have? Mercedes Lewis. I know he got a couple touchdowns last year, but he's like 59 years old. Yeah. So yeah, I like Jace could be a breakout, and he has an opportunity to finish as maybe a back end tight end one this year. I mean, like we've always said, it only takes like 3 receptions, 30 yards, and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You're a tight end. Sternberger, you know, the athletic profile that he has, And just the fact that they need some targets on that team, they didn't draft a wide receiver. So Sternberger could be the key to unlocking a little bit more of that offense this year. So my guy, we're going with the Patriots again. Ooh. You know, this guy was 101 in a lot of last year. Mm-hmm. He was most people's wide receiver one, and we saw an awesome wide receiver class last year. So for me, it's N'Keal Harry. So I've been acquiring N'Keal Harry in a couple leagues here and there. I paid a 2021 second in a league to get him. And you know what? I'm buying the dip on N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of it came with, you know, being injured in the preseason, not getting a lot of the preseason work in mini camps and OTAs, and getting that rapport with Tom Brady, because that's the biggest thing that's important to him. But with Tom Brady, if you're not on the right side of Tom Brady, he's going to forget you. He's not going to pay attention to you. If you're outside of the circle of trust, Fokker, N'Keal Harry wasn't in that circle of trust.
He was not.
So this year, obviously Brady's out of the picture. Finally, just kidding. I'm not unhappy that he's gone.
That's
but
so N'Keal Harry is into it.
No. I've been getting rid of Brady for a couple years now. So Harry, it's going to be Harry and Jarrett Stidham. At least it appears that way. You know, there doesn't look like they're going to sign a veteran quarterback. Brian Hoyer's on the team. I think it's going to be Stidham's show. So Stidham and Harry, obviously they got work as rookies last year, so there may be some rapport there. But when Harry was on the field in preseason, he was making really nice contested catches. He was really good on the curl route, sideline, all really nice. And then when he did play with Tom Brady, like, he did make some nice plays. So I saw some of the flashes there. Now, the biggest knock on N'Keal Harry has always been he can't separate, right? That was the biggest thing with him coming out of Arizona State, is like, he's a contested catch, jump ball guy. He's going to use his big body to box out the cornerbacks, but he can't separate. Well, now N'Keal Harry has been working with the Footwork King. Now, if you don't know who the Footwork King is, go on Twitter, search for Footwork King. This guy works with some stud NFL players strictly on their footwork and being able to get separation. So I don't know if you've seen any pictures of N'Keal Harry, Tim, but he's looking pretty cut right now. Ooh. And he's working with the Footwork King, and he said the one thing that he wants on is that separation piece. He wants to build speed, and he wants to increase his foot speed. He is determined to come in this season and make a difference for the Patriots. Now, I know Julian Edelman is going to be the target hog there. Or at least that's the, you know, the perception, because he was with Tom Brady. I assume Edelman's still going to get a ton of targets. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me that you've seen N'Keal Harry having a 60 reception, maybe 850. The 5-8 touchdown type of season for the Patriots if he's healthy all season. Yeah. I think they are going to run the ball and play defense a lot, but I like N'Keal Harry and to the two guys in the offense that are going to get the bulk of the work.
Yeah. I mean, he was the first one on my list, and then I saw you already had him up on the sheet, so I had to take him off mine. I had to scratch him off because that's the first guy that came to mind. I mean, we're talking about the guy who was D101 in a bunch of drafts last mm-hmm. year. That just did not produce for, you know, a multitude of reasons. Like you mentioned, he wasn't in that circle of trust. He wasn't built in Brady's teats, you know, so maybe that was the issue.
Undoubtedly.
But yeah, you mentioned that in the preseason, he showed flash, the field awareness, knowing where he was almost exactly, you know, along those sidelines, keeping his feet in bounds, making those tough catches.
The body control, the hands.
Yeah, being able to haul that ball in, keep his feet in bounds, and then still have the balance and agility to turn and still get upfield to get some yards after the catch. The guy is, he's an all-world style talent. He just didn't get the ability, the chances to show it last year. And like you said, you know, a lot of those second team reps, I'm sure he was running with that second team offense. So Stidham and him probably have some sort of chemistry already. So I look forward to that. I think that N'Keal Harry is really going to be the stock up. And like you said, you're buying him for seconds. If I'm in a league with you and you're sour on N'Keal, I'll gladly give you a second next year for him.
Yeah, I remember with Damian Harris is like, oh, I drafted this guy at the top of the first round. And maybe they just really soured on him, and you're buying at a discount. And that's what you have to do in Dynasty, is like, all right, believe in the athletic profile and you believe in the player going into the NFL. Maybe they have a rough rookie season for, you know, a myriad of reasons. But if you still like that player, that's the guy that you should go acquire, because those are the guys, if you still have the same, you can pay a 2021 second And then if he turns it around, he could be a top 15 dynasty wide receiver if he has a solid year, because people are going to be back on the N'Keal Harry train this all the time. So Tim went into our second round here of sophomore sleepers. This one.
So the second round of the sophomore sleeper, and these are no sort of order for me. They're just the guys, how I wrote them down, but we kind of hit on this guy a little bit earlier. The San Francisco 49ers injured rookie last year, Jalen Hurd, was a college running back, started playing a little bit of receiver.
A good one. Baylor.
The Niners invested serious draft stock in him last year. They definitely wanted this kid. And then now you have a guy like Debo, who, let's be honest, his average depth of target wasn't great, because the entire plan with Debo was give it to him short, let him get the yards after the catch. They had design runs for Debo, and they were very successful in that. Well, you know who I think could probably do very good in a very similar type situation and play style is a guy that used to be a running back. Give Jalen Hurd those close to the line catches. Give Jalen Hurd those end arounds, those bubble screens. Let him catch the ball, hand him the ball, let him get upfield. Let him do that. He's shown the ability to do that. Played in the SEC with Tennessee, then went to Baylor. The kid's an athlete. The kid's a NFL style talent. So just I think this is a guy that, like I said earlier, that coaching staff has spent the past 14, 16 months saying, hey, we got this guy just sitting back here. We haven't got to use him yet. Let's think of ways we can. And with the injury to Debo, I think it does nothing but just swing that door wide open for him to kind of assume that role, at least early on in the season. And that's all he needs. He just needs the opportunity, and I think he's going to hit some home runs with it.
Yeah, and we talk about versatile pieces in that offense. You have, you had Debo Samuel. I hope he's back by one. They drafted Brandon Ayuk, who could have some versatility. But Jalen, a lot of versatility. He's a big, big target. And just his experience as a running back, I think they're going to, like you said, I think they're going to use him in a lot of different fun ways. And he is pretty much free in dynasty startups. And you would probably be able to get Jalen Hurd for a late third, early fourth.
Yep.
I would think.
Yep.
You can get Jalen. I like that quite a bit.
The wire.
Yeah. I drafted him in a dynasty startup on Sleeper in round 18 or 19. And this was a 14 team league.
Okay.
So I was able to get him super late. So I was all about that. So I was like, you know what? At that point, it all says upside to me. So yeah. Go with the draft capital, go with the player that I liked going into the process and see if it pays off. You're paying nothing for him. So anything you turn on that is a profit. All right. So Robbie's second player was a first round pick last year in most of your drafts. It's Paris Campbell. So he's the wide receiver 57 in startup ADP right now on DLF. He's slated to be the starting slot wide receiver in a Phillip Rivers offense. You know, last year, abdominal muscle strain, broken hand, fractured foot. A lot of things went wrong for Paris Campbell in 2019, but it's looking like he's going to be healthy this year. So what you should be doing is going out and getting Paris Campbell at an injury discounted price, because you're looking at an offense. You know, if you have, they drafted Michael Pittman in the early second round. They still have T.Y. Hilton. They have Paris Campbell. So those are going to be your starting three wide receivers. Now, obviously, we know the running backs that they have with JT, Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines. Tight ends, they have Jack Doyle. They also have Trey Burton. So there's going to be a lot of options in that offense. But the most versatile option that they have is Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell can be used in a lot of similar ways that Debo Samuel is. You can give him carries out of the backfield. You can use him in the slot. He's got the speed to blow by guys up the seam or even move him to the outside. So he's a very versatile weapon, and I like the fact that Phillip Rivers is there. You know, Jacoby Brissett was limited last year as a quarterback. He didn't have Paris Campbell, obviously, but I really like this marriage of Phillip Rivers and Paris Campbell. And at wide receiver 57, again, just like N'Keal Harry, injuries and all these things in his rookie year are going to give you the opportunity to go and buy Paris Campbell. So, Tim, would you pay a 2021 second for Paris Campbell, like a mid to late?
I would. Yeah, mid to late second for Paris Campbell. Absolutely. I mean, the kid saw 18 of them, so he's catching it about a 70-75% clip, if my quick, stupid math off the top of my head is about right.
Sounds about right.
and converted that to 127 yards. So let's say he gets 80 targets in this offense. That's going to be about 55, 57 catches. He's probably going to put himself in that 500-yard range, convert a couple of those for touchdowns, and you know, maybe break a couple big ones. This is a kid that's got some decent speed to him too. So playing there in the slot with that veteran quarterback, with that amazing offensive line that's going to hopefully keep Phillip Rivers as clean as possible. And, you know, three very decent running backs. You have two very good running backs and a very, very good pass option out of that backfield in Nyheim Hines. So they have weapons galore there in Indianapolis. So they could line up in some fun formations, some fun personnel sets, you know, and Paris Campbell's going to kind of be that afterthought, really. You know, you got Jonathan Taylor lined up in the backfield. You got Phillip Rivers there under center, T.Y. Hilton, and then you got lowly Paris Campbell just kind of hanging out there in the slot, and that safety's going to kind of roll T.Y.'s way, and whoops, it's the post. And Phillip Rivers is the guy to find him.
He's going to be making babies in that offense, that's for sure.
He makes babies no matter where he goes.
Any woman that brushes up against him walks away with like, ooh, my tummy hurts. Am I pregnant? Like, that's how Phillip Rivers, he is that fertile. That's the rumor anyway. All right. So my guy, now, if you know me, you know that I was banging the drum for this guy. I took him in the late first in some leagues or like early seconds. And I still believe. And if you're looking at a guy with a lot of talent that probably has maybe the biggest dip as far as like terms of trying to acquire him now, it's JJ Arcega-Whiteside. So Whiteside was a late first round, early second round pick last year. Unless
you were in a draft with Doug, then you had to go mid first to get him.
Yeah, pretty much. He was my wide receiver 2 last year. Mm-hmm. So I own JJ everywhere. I actually traded for him in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcaster League with Memphis. I gave up Chris Carson and I got 2 2021 seconds as well as Arcega-Whiteside. I used one of those seconds to get N'Keal Harry. Mm-hmm. So I needed some younger receivers. So I was like, oh, I'll buy the dip on Arcega-Whiteside. Now, here's the thing. Through the process, if you really like the player, now, the argument is, well, the Eagles didn't have anybody at receiver last year, and he still couldn't do anything. Not untrue. You know, we were looking at undrafted Greg Ward making plays for them at the former wide receiver quarterback position.
Undrafted Greg Ward.
Right, because they didn't have much going on. Now, in an interview with Arcega-Whiteside, he mentioned how difficult it was to master the playbook. And the biggest thing is that he didn't know what wideout position he was going to be playing from game to game as a rookie because they had injuries everywhere, slot, X, Y, Z, the whole thing. So, you know, guys like Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf had great rookie years because they knew the position they were going to be playing and they knew exactly what they had to do every single week, where Jay Jaw was like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm already having a hard time with the playbook. It also came out that he was injured last year. Now, he played through some of those injuries and that affected his play as well. So I think that, you know, when you look at what the Eagles did at receiver, they drafted Jalen Reagor, they drafted John Hightower. Who was the other kid they drafted? His name escapes me, a wide receiver.
Quez
Watkins. So, you know, they drafted these guys, but none of them do the same things that JJ Arcega-Whiteside does. The only person on that roster that does any of that is Alshon Jeffery. Now, we all know that Alshon Jeffery, this is going to be his last year as a Philadelphia Eagle. He's making big money. The Eagles are going to be way over the salary cap next year. So, you know, you may have to wait a little bit longer for Arcega-Whiteside. Maybe it's year 3. But if you have to give up, I think you could probably get him in most leagues for a mid to late 3rd, maybe even a 4th from some people. I think a lot of people saw it and be like, oh, this guy is trash. He couldn't do anything. But if you look at what he did at Stanford, you look at what he's good at. He's tied to a good young quarterback in Carson Wentz. You know, maybe it's going to take him a full year to learn the position. You know, the receivers coach, they let him go in the offseason. That receiving group hasn't been good for 2 years. They let him go. So maybe bringing in a receiver coach that focuses on, say, hey, JJ, this is what you do well, and this is what we want you to do, and this is the only things we want you to do. Kind of like how Seattle said to DK Metcalf, run these couple different routes and do your thing. And Metcalf ended up with 900 yards and 7 or 8 touchdowns in his rookie year. So I'm hoping that it starts to happen this year, but if it doesn't, I'm going to be patient with a guy like Arcega-Whiteside. I'm going to go out and buy him and say, hey, you know what? Alshon's still there. If Alshon's healthy through the year, J-Jaw is going to have to wait until year three. And I'm okay with that because I still believe in the talent and my talent assessment of him going into the draft this past year. So, Tim, you're an Eagles fan. Am I off here or am I spot on? Or what's your take on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
I have to be honest. It wasn't great to see, a guy that I was very excited for, too, once the Eagles took him. Even before then, there was some interest there for dynasty drafts for me, for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. But yeah, and it's understandable that, 1 week Nelson Agholor's out. So it looks like, hey, if you're going to see the field, you're going to see it from the slot position.
DeSean Jackson gets hurt.
Yeah. So he prepped for the slot. He's like, man, I'm having trouble here. These route combinations, my responsibilities on these different routes and these coverage combinations that I'm going to see. And then the next week, Nelson's going to be able to play. So now DeSean's out. Boom. So I got to get over there and play that X position. Now I'm having a whole nother set of issues with these.
Now Alshon's out.
Yeah, now Alshon's out. So he's got to learn, the reads on coverages from different positions, what all the hot routes are, what all the audibles are going to be from the different positions. It's tough. I understand that. Some of them pick up on this a lot faster than others. And it seems like J-Jaw was just one of the guys that, due to circumstances, was having some of those issues. I think towards the end of the season, we kind of just saw guys like Greg Ward going out there. And I think his time as a quarterback definitely helped. He's able to step up to that line of scrimmage and understand what he's reading, from his quarterback days. So if I'm the quarterback, this is what I would want my receivers to do. So he would attempt to do those things. And you saw him and Wentz really, really start to build some chemistry there toward the end of the year. And a lot of the action was going Greg Ward's way, while guys like JJ were still on the sidelines trying to figure out exactly what he's seeing out there. So hopefully, I want to say Moorhead. I don't know his first name, is the new wide receiver coach for the Eagles. I think he came out of Vanderbilt, doesn't scream wide receiver production to me, but, that front office is one of the better ones in the league. Despite my fandom, they do make some decent coaching hires. They have a pretty decent history between Andy Reid and now Doug Peterson and, a year of Chip Kelly before that thing all went to hell in a handbasket. But hopefully, like you said, I actually listened to a podcast today with the Seattle coaching staff. It was just Pete Carroll and then they're like a sports psychologist kind of talking about how they find out, hey, this is what you are. We're going to find out how to highlight that. So I think the Eagles need to realize that they have a Alshon Jeffrey light in J-Jaw and kind of have him play that style. Have him be the big guy that can go up and win you contested catches and be that third down possession type guy. And you can use him to just get you down the field. Jalen Reagor is going to be the big play guy along with DeSean this year. J-Jaw is going to have to play the different style and that's fine. That's what he's going to be best at.
Yeah. And just remember, if you go inquire him, the price is cheap, but you may have to be a little patient. That's all.
Yep.
That's all you need. So, Tim, your next one is, I think you and I are probably the biggest stands for this man in the fantasy industry.
Yeah.
I own him in, I think, 80% of my dynasty leagues. Yeah. So who's your
I have him here? Almost everywhere. I brought him up on our last podcast with Mike Clay talking about his all his charts he does and how it speaks to him about sleepers and busts and things like that. But this is the tight end for the Buffalo Bills, Dawson Knox. He played in 15 games last year, saw 50 targets. He converted that into 28 catches, 388 yards, and 2 scores. So here's what I expect from Dawson Knox. Rookie last year, seeing 50 targets in the tight end position. The tight end position in the NFL normally takes that 3 years we were talking about earlier for most tight ends to mature into what they're going to be in this league. If Dawson Knox is seeing 50 targets as a rookie, I understand that they went out and got Mr. Diggs in the trade market. but they understand they've seen what Dawson Knox can do now. They're going to get him the ball more. They're going to see if he can handle a bigger responsibility and a bigger workload. I would expect 5 to 85 targets for Dawson Knox. He's probably going to convert more of those into catches. So let's say we take that 28 and turn that into about 50, 60 catches. We'll get up somewhere around the 600, 700 yard range. And he's a big, big boy. So let's get those two touchdowns. Let's get those up into like that 6-7 range, maybe. And we're talking about, it's not sexy, but a tight end one. Nothing about that's electric. Yeah. It's not a young Gronk. It's not George Kittle. It's not Travis Kelce. But you're getting him at rounds and rounds and rounds later. So you're stashing the depth at the other skill positions and still getting a tight end one on your team in the you know double digit rounds with Dawson Knox.
I like I said earlier, I love the 2019 tight end class. Mm-hmm. So some fun things about Dawson Knox. So he used to be a quarterback. So he's only been playing the tight end position for a few years now. So last year as a rookie, as a Bill, he had 388 receiving yards, which was more than anything he had in either of his college season. You know, he played one game in 2016. He played 8 in 2017. He played 9 in 2018. His high in college was 321 receiving yards. He didn't have a receiving touchdown in college. He already has two of those in the NFL.
100% so more.
We talked about players, especially tight ends, learning the position as they go. So for what he did in year one, I think the future is really bright for Dawson Knox. You know, I've always called him kind of like my ghetto George Kittle, just based on his athleticism. So he's 86th percentile 40-yard dash with a 4.64. His speed score is 86th percentile, burst score is 72nd percentile, agility 75th, and his catch radius is 79th, and that's all on playerprofiler.com. SparkX is a 64th percentile player. His college dominator, 4.9%, 6th percentile. They didn't use him because they had DeMarcus Lodge, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. Like yeah, they had all these guys at Ole Miss.
Absolute freaks.
Absolute freaks. So they didn't use Dawson Knox a lot, but his athletic profile and what I saw, you know, in the combine and watching his college tape, now there isn't a ton of it, I saw something that reminded me of George Kittle when I was on George Kittle a few years ago. Now, it's going to be interesting to see his maturation because, like you said, the Bills have a lot of different options now, but Dawson Knox should be one-on-one coverage against the linebacker, and I will take that every single time for Dawson Knox, especially in tight end premium formats. Scott Fishbowl, I think if you can get him as like a third tight end on those teams, I think he's going to pay off bigly for you. His best comparable on playerprofile.com is Blake Jarwin, who I know a lot of people like as a sleeper in the Cowboys offense, which probably has even more weapons to pass to. So why not Dawson Knox making a big year two leap? And I love those stats that you threw out, Tim, of where he could land, because I think that is definitely in his range of outcomes this coming year. For Dawson Knox, absolutely love him. Like I said, I own him everywhere. I've been on him since day one. So, you know, I'm hoping as much as you that we see that breakout in year two, or at least not even a breakout, but just to see some maturation. And then by year three, maybe we're talking about Dawson Knox as a top 10 dynasty tight end. Yep. That's the kind of outcome that I see. And that's how confident I am in Dawson Knox's ability. So let's get to Robbie's last one, and that's Miles Boykin. He's 6'4". He's 220 pounds. He ran a 4.4 240 at the combine. He should be the main outside X receiver for Lamar Jackson. He's currently wide receiver 75, which means he's basically free. Yeah. So why not seek out starting players in high-powered offenses? I think that's a really good thought process. You know, Miles Boykin was probably a late second rounder last year in your rookie drafts. We didn't see him do much in his rookie season, you know, partially because you know, the Baltimore Ravens ran the football a lot. You know, everyone's on Hollywood Brown right now as a big breakout. He's been getting a lot of buzz on Twitter and in fantasy football circles. So Hollywood's getting, you've seen his ADP creep up and up. You know, the Ravens did draft a couple of guys. They drafted Devin Duvernay, who doesn't do the same things that Miles Boykin does. They have Willie Snead. They have Seth Roberts. Boykin, athletic profile, I know Tyler's all over him because he went to Notre Dame. So Tyler's immediately drooling all over Miles Boykin. But when you can get him basically free, I think you can buy the dip a little bit on Boykin as well. Are you as confident as Robbie with him in the Ravens offense, or are you staying away, Tim, because they're a run first offense and he's just not going to get a lot of target percentage?
You know, I would say that I wasn't nearly as on Boykin as everybody was last year, But this is a great pick from Robbie because you outline it very well. You are going to get what on paper looks to be a starting wide receiver for one of the most prolific offenses the league has ever seen. And I understand that they added even more depth to that backfield. They're going to continue to just run, pound the rock. But guess what? Defenses in this league adjust so quickly. And these defensive coordinators have had all offseason. And good luck. I mean, you're not going to just stop it. But they're going to find ways to slow things down. And that's going to force the Ravens to make them back off. Hey, okay, you found a way to stop the run or at least slow it down. Oh, did you see this coming? Bang, big play to Boykin. Bang, big play to Hollywood. It keeps those safeties back. It's if they can throw in more play action just based off of what they did last year. If they came out first play of the season, went play action, and sent both Boykin and Hollywood deep, I'd bet one of them's wide open. I'd bet the house on it. Because of everything the Ravens did last season, those defenses are going to think they're going to do nothing but just do the same thing they did last season, try to pound the rock. So, yeah, I think the Boykin, especially with his ADP being free, is a great, great call from Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of player you want to go after, that athletic player tied to a good offense and get him at the dip. So, yeah, I like that quite a bit. So I've got one more as we start to wrap up here. And guess what? I'm dipping back into that 2019 tight end class, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised? Of course you're not surprised. So this one, I've got this guy stashed on a ton of rosters. I saw him dropped in a couple dynasty leagues. And I've had him added into a throw-in and a trader here and there too. And that is Texans tight end, Kahale Waring. Mm-hmm. So Kahale Waring was taken as the 86th overall player last year in the third round out of San Diego State. Super, super athletic. He's 6'6", 250 pounds. Did you know he used to play water polo?
Yes, that was a big story last year.
Yes, but I don't know if you saw him on Twitter recently doing like 360 dunks. Like, he's an athletic freak. Now, just like George Kittle, you know, across the board, over 80th percentile in 40-yard dash, speed score, catch radius, burst score, 68th percentile agility score. Like, Kahale Waring is a physical freak at his size and his weight. He's 23 years old, so he's still obviously young. It's his second year. But the things I like about Kahale Waring is that the depth chart for the Texans is, you know, you got Jordan Akins. Okay. You've got Daniel Fells, who had a nice season with 7 touchdowns last year. Is he going to do that again? He's like 33 years old, and they signed him in the offseason. More of a blocking tight end, in my opinion. They have Jordan Thomas, who is a 6th rounder. Now, I know Deshaun Watson was working with a group of players just a few weeks ago, and Kahale Waring was one of them. So I think Kahale Waring can kind of come out of nowhere here and be fantasy relevant for you, maybe as a tight end too. Because if you look at the pass catchers for the Texans, now obviously we all know DeAndre Hopkins was stolen away by the Arizona Cardinals. The Texans trade for Brandon Cooks, who has a bit of an injury history with concussions. Now I know he hasn't missed a ton of games in his career, but if he gets another concussion, he could miss half a season. Like, that's... Yeah. That's in the range of outcomes. Kenny Stills has been relatively healthy throughout his career. You've got Will Fuller, who's hurt all the time. You've got Kiki QT, who is in the doghouse. So say, you know, Cooks or Fuller goes down with an injury, they're going to have to increase their usage of the tight ends. They don't like to pass to the running backs a lot. I know they have David Johnson, so maybe that changes. But their offensive coordinator came in, you know, just a few weeks ago, said that, you know, that Waring's going to come in and compete for the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I look at that group of tight ends, if he knows the playbook, just on athleticism alone, size, speed, red zone ability, Kahale Waring to me is a guy that you can get for absolutely free that could be fantasy relevant this year for you. And maybe he starts during your bye weeks, or you play him, you know, matchups like, oh, they're playing the Arizona Cardinals this week. The Cardinals stink at covering the tight end. I'm going to play Kahale Waring because he's starting. Boom, there you go. You get a tight end 1 week, that type of factor. But here's a guy that's probably on most people's taxi squads. And you know what? That he can grow. Tight ends take time typically. You know, it's funny that on Player Profiler, his best comparable is Foster Moreau, who's another guy that I absolutely love, but he's behind Darren Waller. But he's going to learn from Jason Witten, and Foster Moreau is going to go on to do great things. That's all I'm saying. Because again, he's one of these hyper-athletic tight ends, 80th percentiles across the board again. 6'4", 253, Foster Moreau, an absolute beast. And in his rookie year, he scored 5 touchdowns on 21 receptions. And that was with Darren Waller in the lineup. So Darren Waller is going to be 28 years old when the season starts. The way that his contract is set up, he could be there for a year or two and they can let him go. So again, get Foster Moreau, get Kahale Waring, go get Josh Oliver, another athletic freak. Go get Irv Smith, who's going to cost you a little bit more. Go get Jay Sternberger. Go get Dawson Knox. Go. You know what? If you're looking for the freebie of freebies, I was listening to a podcast and they were pumping CJ Uzoma for the Bengals as being a late round tight end. Go get yourself some Drew Sample. They drafted this guy in the second round last year. So Drew Sample was taken before all the most of these other tight ends. And, you know, now they have Joe Burrow at quarterback, and Sample is another one of these guys that is pretty athletic across the board. He's 68 percentile or higher. So 6'5", 255 pounds. CJ Uzoma, like, okay. They obviously like something about Drew Sample to take him in the second round. He is an absolute freebie. If you get anything out of him, congratulations. But Drew Sample is a guy that if I see him hanging out there on the waiver wire and I've got some just dead ass player I want to get rid of, I'll take Drew Sample, especially in tight end premium leagues. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now for 2019 tight ends. So Tim, before we wrap up, any last words?
No, the Kahale Waring is a great one. What do they have? Darren Fells and Jordan Thomas.
I want to say Jordan Akins. Yeah.
Jordan Akins. And I know there was, you know, it was spotty, but those guys were putting up occasional tight end one type weeks last year.
Yeah. Fells had 7 touchdowns.
Yeah. So
and Akins, I mean, I think had a 2, Jordan Thomas has had a 3 touchdown game in his career.
Yeah, so if Kahale can find his way into the starting role there at that tight end position, and you mentioned, what was that, like 30% of the offense ran through DeAndre Hopkins last year, you know, so 30% of the targets
Cooks
are
and
now
Fuller gone. Aren't those target hogs. They're, yeah. It's going to be spread around.
Yeah, so 30% of the targets are now going to be spread around. Take whatever the tight ends got last year, sprinkle in an extra 5 to 7%, and if Kahale Waring finds himself as the tight as the starting tight end there, it's going to be great. Like you mentioned, 6'6", big body, 250 pounds.
Athletic.
Just a great, great red zone type weapon when none of those wide receivers on that team profile as a red zone target type guy.
Not at all.
He could just eat. He could eat down there.
You know, I think their tallest player is the kid out of Rhode Island they drafted.
Okay, yeah. They took him pretty late, though.
Whose name escapes me, and it should. Oh, Isaiah Coulter. That's who it was. There you go.
But yeah, I mean, you mentioned Kenny Stills, while has never really had health issues, has never really also lit things up anywhere he's been.
He's a great best ball receiver.
You're talking about a guy who no longer has hamstrings and Will Fuller. He's just ripped them all to shreds. They're gone. Brandon Cooks. I absolutely loved Brandon Cooks. I so wish none of this ever happened to him, but let's be honest. If a strong wind blows against the side of his head just a little too hard, he might be out for 8 games.
Yeah,
it stinks. I mean, we're seeing potentially a huge waste of talent here due to head injuries. But you know, there's a story I can tell where Kahale Waring wins this starting tight end position, an injury or two happens, and this guy's seeing 70 targets in this offense from one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
You know what would be interesting? I know this is like super far-fetched, and I don't know why I just thought of this. You remember the rise of Darren Waller last year, and he ended up with 90 receptions and blah, blah, blah. Yep. And everyone was like, oh, he's a sleeper. Like, he ended up getting a ton of targets because they didn't have much else. Like, I'm not saying Kahale Waring's going to be that guy, but I mean, if he got...
You can tell that story and it's believable. Will Fuller in camp, because of the limited offseason activities, Will Fuller rips his hamstrings completely to shreds again. You know, somebody goes a little high on Brandon Cooks. He's out for 5 to 6 weeks. Kahale Waring wins the starting job. He starts off the season on this tear, and just that momentum carries him throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very Texans. Easy story to tell. I don't want to see any of that happen. I don't want to see Will Fuller get injured. I don't want to see Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was one of the most electric receivers coming out of college that I had seen in a while. And just one bad hit after the next has led to this. He's one hit away from, you know, maybe never playing again.
Yeah. All Brandon Cooks does is play for Pro Bowl quarterbacks. That's his thing. Yeah. It's crazy, right? Well, that's going to wrap us up this week on DHH. So again, happy Father's Day to you, Tim. Happy Father's Day to everyone watching us and listening to us. Make sure you head over to Dynasty Happy Hour. You can do your own rankings. You can check out all the boys' rankings over there as well. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow the Dynasty Happy Hour main account. You can follow Tim at DHH_Tim. You can follow me on Father's Day at DaFantasyFather. It's a double entendre type of day for me. Also my favorite fantasy team name, if you're a fan of the league, the double entendres. Sorry. Anyway, shout out to the league. So that's going to do it this week. We'll be back next week with Tyler when the Ginger God returns to Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll see you next week.